Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am back in Colorado. I am taking the week off. I am on vacation with my family. We always do something for Labor Day week, weekend week, because it's my husband's birthday, and we are in Colorado. And what is so silly is that I am back in the house that I've recorded so many of our early Very Amusing episodes in. If you remember, we used to do seasons. We don't even do that anymore. But at least the majority of the first season, maybe even season one and two, were recorded in Colorado in this house that I'm now just spending the weekend. We spent so much time here in 2020 and 2021, and it is so wild and very fitting for this week's episode, may I add, that the room I used to record in, I'm recording somewhere else right now, but the room I used to record in is now where my baby sleeps. So much time has passed. It's been four, can you believe it's been 4 years since this podcast started? 4 years, and hopefully we'll have 4,000 more. I don't think I will be around podcasting for 4,000 years, but hey, one can dream. Speaking of podcast, next week we are going back to regular non-baby related programming, and we are discussing theme park hacks. I have been whittling away like a squirrel with nuts, saving up for winter, my favorite little tips and tricks and hacks for visiting these parks. But if you have some sort of Universal Studios Hollywood have to know tip, if you have a Islands of Adventure tidbit of knowledge, if you have something for Disney World, Disneyland, anything that you are like, this is my go-to thing, I love telling people this, call in to 747 Churros as soon as possible. Truly, I want to try to add as many tips as I can from other people, and obviously credit you and play your voicemail if you send it in through voicemail. I want to share as many of these as possible because I think that if we're trading insider info, we might, I don't know why I said it like that, info instead of info. I just want to be able to make people's trips as great as they can be, and so I'm putting out the call. If you have anything you want to share, call into 747 Churros, let me know, and I will hopefully share on air along with our many, many, many tips that I cannot wait to share with you. With that, we have so much to discuss this week, so I'm just going to turn it over. But hi from Colorado, that's all I got. I just got here, so I'm not hiking yet. I haven't adjusted to altitude. I got to give myself like 48 hours and so much Gatorade. But once that's done, find me on a mountain. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to our two-part guide of visiting Disneyland with a toddler or a baby. If you are just joining us, I highly recommend listening to part one as well. There's no need to do so in order, really, but in that episode, we cover so much ground about things like strollers, diaper changes, feeding, when to visit, and really all the insidery info you may not know unless you're talking to someone who has brought a baby here many times, aka someone who's obsessed with this place like I am. This week, we're getting into even more planning advice, including some of the most pressing questions I often get. We'll discuss what kind of rides you should go on, which rides you should not go on, and really just how to juggle a Disney trip that everyone, even your youngest, will be happy with. Wondering how to get yourself on a thrill ride if your 9-month-old can't board? Curious if you should buy those skip-the-line lightning lane passes you're always hearing about if it's baby's first trip? We will answer those questions and more this week, because my goal is for you to have the best Disneyland day possible. Leaving Disneyland feeling accomplished or defeated often comes down to scheduling, but with a young kid, it is also determined by perspective. I have mentioned this in Disney World episodes that the way I approach a trip is to have one main goal of each day. One essential thing that you really, really want to do in the parks, which you try to accomplish while your young kid is fed and awake and happy. Not so easy to do sometimes. Because anything else on top of that one goal you want to hit, is just a bonus. It's all gravy. But Disneyland is different. The sheer amount of rides you can bring your littles on, the walk-up character meet and greets, everything is just a little easier here. So if you're heading to Disneyland, and especially if your kid is over 1 year old, I really think you can bring that number up to 3 things. You'll end up doing so much more than that. But you can bring kids on way more rides here than you'd think. And with so many easy to board small attractions, focusing on 3 main goals that you want to accomplish, we're talking like rides, sights, experiences, characters, I find that that is a really solid planning approach. If there is anything you are concerned about your kid liking, remember, there is a YouTube ride or walkthrough of everything at Disneyland online. Literally everything. We will, of course, meticulously highlight anything that needs a parent-to-parent warning here on the podcast because, come on, it's my podcast. You know I'm going to give you all of the info. But if you're curious about anything, Google it, and I assure you 100 things will come up, guaranteed. And with that, let's get started, because the real reason we're here, besides the food and characters and fireworks and parades, are the rides. And trust me when I say this, there is perhaps no other tourist destination on Earth better suited for babies and toddlers than this one. Oh yeah, believe it. This resort just has so many attractions your baby can go on. And on top of that, so many of them are in one central location. Fantasyland here is like the last great vestige of visiting these parks before paid Fastpass was first introduced. Seriously, there are so many rides in such a condensed space that do not offer lightning lanes, which means you can rock it old school and just get in the line whenever works for you or whenever wait times are low. Ah, do you hear the heavens opening? Do you hear the angels singing? It's how we used to visit theme parks. And here it is so simple and so easy. This is clutch when you have a small child because it means you don't have to schedule around nap time, meal time, panic freak out meltdown time. You can show up, book nothing, and still get on multiple rides rather easily. And for my Florida-bound people listening, if you are used to Walt Disney World, Disneyland will be so much easier with a small child. I would scream that. I don't want to hurt your ears, but trust me on this one. I mean, weather aside, LA can be hot, but it is nothing like Disney World. And size aside, because Walt Disney World is so big and Disneyland is so manageable, within steps of each other within Fantasyland, you have, ready for this? I have to take a big breath because I have so many things to say. You have? Okay, wait, I took a breath too early. Peter Pan, Snow White, Pinocchio's Daring Journey, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, The Carousel, Dumbo, Teacups, Alice, and Casey Jr., all of which have no height requirement. Did I hit every single one on that list? Yes, I did. Disney World would take all day to power through 3 of those, but here, you can really play it by ear and go on whenever you'd like. I love Disney World. Despite being a Californian, it is kind of my home park. It's like my home park in my heart. But wow, once you're through the gates, Disneyland is way simpler. So if you're planning a trip and you're stressed, just know it is easier here than it is elsewhere. So if you are in the middle of planning, you're curious about which rides may or may not work for your traveling party, do keep in mind that the Disneyland website puts rides in these really helpful subcategories. They'll break it out by like spinning or loud, or I think I've even seen slow. But here on Very Amusing, we're going to break it down into, yeah, you guessed it, extremely detailed, personalized, Very Amusing style categories. Starting with rides I absolutely recommend for little kids and babies across both theme parks, and slowly but surely working our way towards those which have hypothetical alarms blaring that I recommend you think twice before taking your tot, and kind of low-key never take them there at all. We'll start with the outdoor, kid-friendly, simple but sweet rides, like Casey Jr. Circus Train, Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind, and the carousels, Jessie's Critter Carousel and King Arthur Carousel. These are pretty low-weight, easy-peasy, totally decent rides, and conveniently covered from the sun. But they're just not as fun as many others. Because if you're like me, you're here for the indoor dark rides, which are air-conditioned, kid-friendly, and as retro Disney as it gets. The best part is, the majority of these are never too tricky to get onto either. You've got old school ones like Pinocchio's Daring Journey and Snow White's Enchanted Wish, and you got newer ones like Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, and, of course, Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure, which is kind of the perfect kid attraction over at Disney California Adventure. The bubbles, if you have a tiny baby, they'll be enthralled by them. It's slow. It's dark, but like in a bright kind of neon way. It's indoors for hot days. It really hits all the little kid marks. That handful is basically my hit list when I'm in the parks with my kid. They're popular, but not so popular that you'll be waiting an eternity. And while some have lightning lanes, some don't. So they're great even for the littlest of kids who you don't think you can wait in a long line with, or you don't want to pay to skip the line with them. I go on all of these regularly, and they always do the trick. And those are the smaller, simpler dark rides, I'd say. There are also the main attraction dark rides, the more popular, famous Disney ones that will give you that, oh my God, we really did it. We took our kid, we took our baby to Disney. We did it. We're here. Our baby's at Disney. They're seeing Disney through their own eyes feeling. You know that like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. That feeling is going to come from these. We're talking It's a Small World, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Haunted Mansion. I wholeheartedly recommend all three of these, but two of them right now are Lightning Lane enabled, which is the skip the line service you have to pay for. Because of this, the standby line wait times can creep up, especially in the holiday months. Each winter, It's a Small World is transformed with seasonal decor. It's very beautiful. And from around mid-August to early January, Haunted Mansion has a Nightmare Before Christmas re-theme. Both are super fun, but will result in increased wait time if you don't buy a Lightning Lane. And do take note, at the time of recording this, Haunted Mansion is currently only using a temporary virtual queue system for everyone who is riding. So be sure to check back to the Disneyland website or app prior to arrival. If you're worried about Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean being too scary for your kid, I'll tell you firsthand, Pirates was actually totally fine for us. It is dark at times, and there are two drops on this buccaneer-filled boat ride, but it went all right. She wasn't too scared of them. I think just because of the boat mechanism during the drop, it wasn't too bad. Though as I say that, I will interject and mention, if you follow me, you know that when I saw our on-ride photo from when she was 9 months old on a similar boat ride in Epcot themed to Frozen, she grabbed me a little during it. I thought she was fine, but her face in the photo told a different story. So just keep that in mind. They might be a little scared for the drop, but I don't think it'll cause them to be upset or to cry, most likely. Haunted Mansion, though, is also quite dark inside, and the content is a little more fright-filled, in my opinion. But I think it's actually fine for little kids for the most part. The trickiest part, I think, is the stretching room. It's the room you enter first, and there's a really loud moment at the end that is louder than you remember it being on any visit to Disneyland without children there. But again, evaluate the risk of darkness in light and in content for your own kid. And if your kid is young, pack headphones. Even if they're young enough where like how lit it is or the actual substance of the ride probably won't affect them, it is really good to have them on hand. I swear, you will never notice how loud things can be at a theme park until you go with a baby. So take it from me. You don't need headphones until you really need them. And sidebar, I'm not talking like ear pods. I'm talking the baby-specific over-the-head ear can headphones. There's a baby version that I bought on Amazon. We've used them plenty of times. And again, you don't know you need it until you need it. In terms of kind of dark, kind of scary, there are more beyond those two. There are a few great rides that I feel similarly about. Attractions like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Alice in Wonderland, and even Enchanted Tiki Room. They're all technically okay for kids. They're indoors, they're air-conditioned, the wait times aren't tragic, and there's no lightning lane, so you won't wait too long either way. They really hit all the marks, but they're also a little dark and the content can be loud and or scary. With so many rides to do and limited time in your Disney day, I just haven't prioritized them as much as the others. Again, Alice, Enchanted Tiki, and Mr. Toad are all great options. They're super fun and fine with kids. But I tend to put these on the back burner in favor of ones that aren't as potentially scary. And then there's the ultimate classic, Peter Pan's Flight. The ride itself, heaven. Flying over London with the tiniest person living in your household, pure magic. But when you're comparing apples to apples, you're possibly standing in the same place for 40 to 50 minutes for a ride that will, no joke, feel like it was 4.5 seconds long. The line is also as boring as they come. You're just in a switchback. There's no secret place with new things to look at. No, you're basically standing in a corral for close to an hour. Again, babies can be heavy. And if your kid doesn't walk, you're just carrying them the entire time. And if this one doesn't mean a lot to you, you can probably do at least 2, maybe 3 other Fantasyland rides in the time that you would do this one. So if you can resist the charms of Peter Pan, if you can feel happy and successful on your Disneyland day without doing it, I say skip it. But again, logic does not work on me. This was the ride I was most looking forward to bringing my baby on. And I gotta tell you, it paid off. It was indescribably special. It was one of my most meaningful moments with her. It's just, I don't know what it is. The ride is so quick. It goes by like that. But it was just pure magic to me. So I recommend it, but I also don't, but also proceed with caution. I simply cannot tell you not to do something because it was a long wait and a short ride when I demanded to do it myself. So if it's worth it for you, it will be worth it. But if not, move along. Just to repeat kind of all of that back to you in a row, the rides that I think are great for kids at this age, this is the hit list, are Casey Jr. Circus Train, Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind, Jessie's Critter Carousel, and King Arthur Carousel. Those are low weight, low yield. Absolute smash hits include Pinocchio's Daring Journey, Snow White's Enchanted Wish, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure, and Monsters, Inc. Mike and Sully to the Rescue. We do one of these on each and every trip, mostly the ones that don't take Lightning Lane, but we've done them all. Then you've got the dark ride classics, the quintessential Disney rides of Small World, Pirates, and Haunted Mansion. Great ones, but they come with a little asterisk just to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into, queue or content-wise. And rides that are for tiny kids but could be considered scary include Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Alice in Wonderland, and Enchanted Tiki Room. That one is more of an attraction. You're sitting, there's a lot of birds, but it's loud. Keep that in mind for the babies. And last but not least, Peter Pan's Flight, which is absolutely brilliant, but just be mindful of the wait. Those are generally the ones I wholeheartedly recommend. So let's get into the ones I personally would not do at this age with my kid, and therefore cannot tell you to do so. Starting, I'm scared to say this, with Storybook Land Canal Boats. I know people are going to be mad at me, but this is purely more of a hot California afternoon summer weather thing. In theory, this quaint little boat ride is a perfect ride for a baby. So cute, so sweet. But in practice, hot. Just sitting in the blazing sun looking at miniatures is not something that is worth it for me to reapply sunscreen for. I'm just not going to choose it for my kid when there are so many other options nearby, particularly in hot weather. If the weather is overcast or chilly or it's wintertime, toss it in the gotta ride pile. But otherwise, for me, it's just kind of a pass. I'm scared to say this one too. Same vibe. Oh my God, please don't cancel me. Same vibe I feel for Dumbo. I know, but hear me out. You're in the sun. You're in the blazing sun, which is not a good starting point when you're at a wild, overwhelming place with your small child. I have taken Pearl on multiple spinner rides at multiple ages, at multiple theme park resorts, and she did not enjoy any of them at all. Like, just at all. Again, just my experience, but from the time between her being 9 months and 15 months, she didn't like any of them. And I have heard the same from multiple friends who have taken their similarly aged kids on Dumbo. Either way, You need to know that you can't make a Dumbo memory without actually suffering through the ride with your baby. I know they build this one as being iconic with your kid, but I'm telling you, it's sometimes not that great. Off to the side of Dumbo, there is a really good vehicle photo op. There's basically a fake ride vehicle, a Dumbo that you can sit in with your baby, you can take a picture. And I gotta tell you, it does the trick. It looks like you're on the ride. I fooled my husband with the photo. We have a great photo of Pearl and I when I went without him once, and he was like, wow, Dumbo. And I'm like, no, I didn't take her on that. She doesn't like those. And it worked great. So don't miss the photo op. But in terms of the ride, I'm not going on it, and I kind of recommend you don't do it until they're older. Similarly, Astro Orbiter, the space-themed spinning ride in Tomorrowland. Listen, I go to the gym regularly, okay? I do a lot of lunges, I'm doing squats, and I still don't think I can safely get in and out of this vehicle with my child. Frankly, I don't even know if I can get out of it as an adult anymore. When you're in it, you gotta go up and then down. And I just fear my knees are past the point of doing attractions like this. If you're with someone else and one person can hold the kid while you get out, I mean, maybe you can do it, but I'm straight up opting out. I physically don't think I can sink into a lower space while holding a baby. And I just don't want to find out if I can. Same with Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. I'll be real with you. I don't want to be on there in the first place. So my child will simply never know this attraction exists. Now here is a complicated one. Jungle Cruise. In theory, it is a perfect ride to bring a baby on. A nice, casual, outdoor boat ride with so much to look at. But if you are anxious, like I am, I would be very worried that my little young baby crying would just ruin everyone's ride. Once they're a little out of that window where they can just start screaming out of nowhere, you're good. But for young babies, the communal aspect of everyone being in one vehicle for quite a bit amount of time and one person having a tantrum can ruin everyone else's experience really stressed me out. Also, I'm down to nurse anywhere, but I really don't want to do it on a jam-packed boat, which would have been a problem when she was much younger. And then there are the rides I categorize as good if you're traveling with multiple kids and you just want to do a ride for you and have your baby tag along. But otherwise, if you're there for the kid, just kind of nonsensical. Because you can bring kids of all ages on Toy Story Midway Mania and Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. But if you're only traveling with a young kid, I really don't see the point. I mean, I guess on Buzz, they can stare at the lights and the show scenes, but Toy Story, it's just a jumbled 3D screen. If you're, again, you have another kid with you, there's a big group traveling, it's easier to just go on and strap the baby in a carrier and bring them, having a toddler and kind of want them to experience what the ride is, I totally get it. But I'm not prioritizing something that they can't really figure out at this point. And to add, I have not yet done Golden Zephyr, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. Why haven't I done that yet? Or more like experience-y attractions, like Storytelling at Royal Theater and Turtle Talk with Crush. Those are top of my list for my next visit. But there is another attraction that is fully living in two worlds. Seemingly fun, somewhat questionable. And that one is Mad Tea Party. So here's the deal. Because young kids kind of flop around and can't hold themselves up easily, these spinning teacups do not appeal to me. You have limited time when you are at Disneyland, and you probably paid a lot of money to get into the door. So young in a carrier, sure, you can totally do teacups. But I personally have put this way on the back burner, and for one reason specifically. And that is because it reminds me a little too much of the worst ride experience I've ever had with my daughter. And that is coming up after this break. Back to school is in the air, and if you, like me, no longer go to school and have no need to remember what a Dixon Ticonderoga is, and yet forever you will, it is trapped in your brain. You deserve something new to refresh your life going into this new season, whether or not you'll be spending it inside a classroom. Because Quince offers the type of timeless, high-quality items that last and last from one season to the next. Y'all already know I'm obsessed with my Quince bike shorts. I am literally wearing them right now. But did you know they have shoes, bedding, cookware, wedding bands? The jewelry, not the one that plays at a party. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they had that too. Literally anything you need that you've probably dragged your feet on buying, they have. Priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, which is the magic of Quince. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. So before you buy, well, anything, stop on by Quince to save money on high-quality home and closet essentials. I was browsing their toddler clothes, as one does, and I found that they had this black smocked dress for Pearl that exactly matches one I already own. So I'm about to become a matchy-matchy parent. I didn't think it would be in my future, and yet, here it is. But also, forget that, because while I was shopping for Pearl, I learned they have furniture. Yeah, Quince has furniture. They have a beautiful leather couch. It's beautiful. They have art. They have silverware. Genuinely, I'm not buying anything before checking here first, and you shouldn't either. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Perfect for someone as forgetful as I am. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns on everything and anything you buy from Quince. quince.com/amusing. Enjoy! So, there's a lot they don't warn you about before you become a parent. Like, due to childproofing, you won't be able to open your cabinets with one hand for multiple years of your life. Your friends weren't being difficult. Nap time actually is non-negotiable. And even though their bodies are so small, kids be so tiny, they eat so much. Thankfully, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, knows just how complicated it can be to keep your entire household fed. And they are here to save you time, money, and energy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater-approved recipes to your door each and every week. Your spouse who won't eat vegetables or your kid who just became a steadfast vegan can't be pleased with HelloFresh? Think again! With 50 recipes to choose from each week, protein and veggie swap options, and build-a-plate meals that will prevent all dinner table-related disagreements, HelloFresh is your ticket to feeding your entire household easily. Including new 6-portion plans for intentional leftovers. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful they're thinking of this stuff because I surely don't have the brain capacity to. As you know, I think HelloFresh is spectacular. The pre-portioned ingredients and recipe cards, an array of recipes make me feel special. Like I'm a little TV chef whose production team just prepped everything for me. No grocery shopping stress, no, oh my God, it's 5 p.m., what do we do, panic. Nope, HelloFresh has you covered. And even better, for a limited time, kids eat free. Go to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids to unlock an exclusive offer of one free kids meal per box for 2 months while subscription is active. That's free kids meals or delicious little late night snacks. Let's be real, not everybody has kids, but we all like quesadillas. Just by going to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers, to kid-friendly fits, to full party-ready looks, with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room, wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude. Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you about Artifact Uprising. Artifact Uprising! If you've heard of them, you know they're a Colorado-based company that specializes in creating premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. But even if you have or haven't, we need to talk about the greatest thing in the world that they sell. Now, they have so many made-to-order, high-quality photo books, but their baby board book had me screaming from my laptop over how good it is. Their photo books and scrapbook albums and calendars and cards and wedding guest books, they're all made using high-quality printing methods for clear, vibrant photos. But so is their exceptional baby board book. So it's basically a 100% customizable book with photos and captions that help your little one learn new words with photos of what they actually see around them on a daily basis. No cartoon bath or doodle of a crib. No, 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 no. I did photos of her shoes, her chair, her playground and water bottle. It's so smart, it's so cute, and with baby-friendly round corners and thick pages for any tiny destructive toddler fingers, it's the coolest learning item I have ever ordered her, and she's already obsessed. And you can get one too, because Artifact Uprising makes it easy to share your memories, teach your littles, and tell your story. Through the end of the year, Very Amusing listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. That's a good deal. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AMUSING through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com/AMUSING through December 31st. Welcome back. We left off talking about the ride I regret bringing my child on. And that attraction is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Now listen, I reported on this when it first opened in Walt Disney World, and I remember covering it and writing, wow, I can't believe such a dynamic ride can be enjoyed by all ages. The writing was literally on the wall, and I didn't know what to expect, because it should have been a sign to me that when I was very pregnant when this opened in Disneyland, I thought, probably not a good idea for me to go on a ride that jostles around this much. So why did I think, just because they said I could bring a baby on, it would be a good idea? Because you can, but I'ma tell you, you're not gonna have fun. This thing jostles back and forth so much. So much more than you even remember in your mind, that when you are clutching a baby, just a bait, like a kid who's just flopping around, can't really sit still, just don't want them to smack their head into the ride vehicle or the row in front of them, it is not as entertaining as you want it to be. And I joked about this on Instagram, being like, this ride moves a little too much for you to have a kid who doesn't technically have a lot of core strength yet. And the amount of messages that I got, from other parents going, oh my God, oh my God, nightmare. Oh my God, nightmare. Oh my God, terrible. Like, just, I opened, I think, 8 in a row, and it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And there were more than that that said it. So trust me, just because you can go on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway with a baby doesn't mean you should. And if you're doing a little baby, if you got a teeny tiny baby in a carrier, they're not going to know what's going on, because they don't know what's going on anyway. But if you've got a 10, 11, 12, 13-month-old who you have to physically restrain in something like this, just keep it in mind. Just skip it. Just wait until they're older. Just wait until they're older, because boy, I wish I did. Again, great ride. I think it's a fantastic ride. I love it at Disneyland, but I don't really want to hold my baby on it anytime soon. But beyond that, there are two other Disneyland rides that make absolutely no sense to me that you can bring any age child on, to the point where I keep checking the website being like, surely I've made a mistake. Absolutely, I have to be wrong. And no. No, you can bring a kid on these, and just because you can doesn't mean you should. The first is Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes. This thing somehow has no height requirement, and I don't know what Disney lawyer has decided to let this slide. It is a 20-person, human-powered group canoe excursion, but little kids have to wear life vests. So, what do you do with your ding-dong baby on the canoe ride? I Googled around to see if I could find any testimonial from someone who did it with a little kid. Please call in if you have, because nothing like this exists online. And all I got... All I got were two Planned Disney responses, with the panelists basically being like, please don't bring your baby on this attraction. I mean, listen to this verbatim response that they had to someone asking if they could bring a 3-month-old on Explorer canoes. It is possible that a cast member may let you hold your baby while wearing a life jacket, but it is something I would not recommend. I think it would be very difficult trying to hold your oar and baby at the same time, but most of all, I would be concerned that someone else's oar may accidentally bump into your baby. The truest example of just because you can doesn't mean you should. And last but not least, on the under no circumstances will I bring a child on this list, is Pixar Pal Around Swinging Edition. This Ferris wheel at Disney California Adventure has two sides. One normal, which is like, it's a normal Ferris wheel. It's totally cool to ride with your kid. I didn't mention it earlier because we're talking about it here. But the other is a kind of roller coaster experience you can only imagine in your worst nightmares. You are sliding and swirling back and forth down a track that goes through a turning Ferris wheel over and over and over, with only gravity as your guide. You couldn't catch me on this ride by myself, let alone with my child. My kid, who can't even eat a carrot stick yet because she doesn't have enough teeth, is going to go on this? Is going to be thrown in a gauntlet 100-something feet up in the air and slip sliding her way down? Couldn't be me, and it shouldn't be you. But if you want a thrill, if you're there and you're like, I don't want to bring my baby on this, but I still want to have some high-octane fun, you can go on real rides. There's a way to go on real rides, adult rides that babies can't go on while you are there, by using something called Rider Switch. You may hear this called Parent Switch or Rider Swap interchangeably, but essentially, Rider Switch will split your traveling party into two. This is a generalization of how it works, but one adult waits with whoever's not riding, in this scenario, a baby or a small child, while the other riders go, and then when they return, the person who was waiting can ride without having to wait in the full line. This is going to be clutch if you are bringing a baby along on a day with a group of adults or multiple generations, but especially if you are traveling with kids of different ages. It's a really great way to make sure everyone of all ages can enjoy different rides and not just be stuck on Casey Jr.'s all day with the little kids. It's offered on plenty rides throughout Disneyland. I will put links in the show notes for this, but it's also a really great option for something to knock out during nap time when the baby is sleeping. Rider Switch works with Lightning Lane, the updated version of Genie Plus, which I guess it's time to get into the Lightning Lane of it all. Now, Lightning Lane Multipass and Single Pass are the current paid skip-the-line products offered at Disneyland Resort. Lightning Lane Multipass is like Genie Plus, which is like Max Pass before it. The many generations of paid products that were once free. While Lightning Lane Single Pass is a one-time, one-ride purchase to skip the line on Disneyland's most popular rides. You can buy one of these. You can buy both, or you can buy neither. And this may be considered a hot take, but I'm going to recommend, if you are only traveling with one little kid, to not buy Lightning Lanes. Now, before you detach your phone from the USB cord in your car and throw it out the window in rage, there are exceptions to this. If you have multiple kids, ignore everything I'm saying. If this is a full vacation, you want to jam in some adult rides, and there's a bunch of people going, maybe one of the adults has never been before, ignore me. It's just that in many circumstances, your day will be a lot simpler without it. Remember, Fantasyland has so many kid rides that don't even offer Lightning Lane capabilities. There is just so much to do at Disneyland without it. And especially with a kid under one, it's already a slog to make sure their eating, diapering, napping, milk drinking needs are met, that adding another schedule on top of that for rides can be overwhelming. But again, if you really want to take your baby on Small World during the holidays and don't want to wait in line too long, this'll do it. And if you really want to go on Rise of the Resistance without the lengthy wait, definitely buy a Lightning Lane for it. Don't forget, the baby under three is included free if the ride is something they can go on and it is a Lightning Lane ride. So essentially, if I just wanted to take Pearl on Small World, I only have to buy one Lightning Lane for us both to be able to go. But if you are a Disneyland local or semi-local, which I know many of you listening are, and you know you'll be back at some point to ride all the adult rides, it might not be worth the scheduling, the time, and especially the money. Because remember, there are so many rides here meant for you to take your littlest kids on that I don't really find it to be essential if the focus is on the kids. And because I have a bit of a hack for you. Yes, for you, oh tired parents who paid for parking and tickets and made it all the way here. I have an alternate suggestion for making sure you get to do what you want to do at Disneyland without spending any extra money. Because if you're mostly here just to introduce your little ones to the park, have their first trip, make those memories, and maybe jam in one, two fun rides that they can't go on, I'm going to suggest you lean into Single Rider. It can be a fantastic way for some of the adults in your party to get on a ride quickly, usually in less time than what's posted, and shorter than you'd experience with Rider Switch. I don't usually visit Disney parks with my husband regularly, but the time we took Pearl, his like biennial visit, you could say, he really wanted to ride Space Mountain. Again, the dynamic of the trip was we were there to make memories with Pearl, but also he low-key really wanted to go on his favorite coaster. So I sat with Pearl while she napped, and he hopped in the single rider line and was actually able to ride three times before she woke up from her short nap. And listen to this. Single Rider is available on Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, Space Mountain, Matterhorn Bobsleds, Goofy's Sky School, Incredicoaster, Radiator Springs Racers, though do note that one kind of takes a while in the Single Rider line, Grizzly River Run, Web Slingers, and Soarin' Over California. That's a lot of attractions! So keep Single Rider as an option in your back pocket. Keep it as a tool in the back of your brain, especially if you're only traveling with two adults. Because if you were buying Lightning Lanes with the intent to ride any of those with Rider Switch, you're gonna be riding solo anyway, so you might as well do so for free. And then there are characters, which once again, I know I keep saying this, it is maybe the easiest thing to do here compared to any other resort, and it's also so nice. Characters are just out and about on Main Street, like the rest of us. They're just at the front of DCA. You can just wander up and take a photo with them so long as their set is still happening and the line is still open. It is so easy. I really feel like standing at the bottom of Main Street to just see who walks out. Saying hi to Chip or Dale before moving on with your day is the perfect first exposure to characters. No character dining pressure, no lines, no waiting 45 minutes to discover your kid is terrified from an anthropomorphic mouse, because of course they are. It is low risk and it is massively high reward to try to meet characters here. Check the Disneyland app for who will be appearing out and about that day, and again, this should give you so much ease, because seeing a character is truly as simple as showing up. There are official Mickey and Minnie meet and greets in Toontown and a princess meet and greet in Fantasyland. Those do have formal queues, but they don't even accept Lightning Lane, so the lines won't be as bad. It's another reason why it's just easier here to go with the flow. But it's not all about rides, because on vacation, kids love to be in the pool, and during a Disney day, they gots to wiggle. But where oh where can they get their sillies out? If you have a baby who is not yet fully walking, the best place, like if I could bold, underline, italic, scream this at you, the best place to go is the soft play area inside Toontown at Disneyland. Never heard of it? Nobody talks about it. I don't know why, but it is heaven. If your baby has never been to a playground, is wobbly, or even barely moves, this is still perfect for them. Even Pearl, who's now almost 18 months and is at playgrounds daily, loves this area because everything is basically mat material. She can climb, crawl, flop around so easily. It is the most reliable option for somewhere for them to move around, and it is worth the schlep to the back of Disneyland. When they're a bit older, toddler age and beyond, they can graduate to the other many play areas around there. Donald Duck's Pond, Goofy's How to Play Yard, the Centennial Park lawn area that they can move around on. Basically, All of Toontown has been brilliantly redesigned to let kids run free and play, no matter how they play. It's a great option for all ages, especially this window that we're talking about, and absolutely worth trekking over to. There is also Tom Sawyer Island. You have to take transportation to get there, you have to board a raft, and I'm typically unwilling to do that. It's just like an extra step, and I'm already tired during a Disney day. But now that Pearl is more mobile, this is on the top of my list for our next visit, and a really clutch option for kids who gots to be running around. Other Disneyland options include Main Street Cinema, which is indoors, and I've heard is really good for crawlers, and for walkers, Fantasyland Theater, if there's not much going on there. So while there is plenty to do at Disneyland, in my experience, I haven't really found any equivalent options for babies and really young kids at California Adventure. There really isn't any sort of soft play area. But for toddlers, there are multiple great options. Disney Junior Dance Party is, well, exactly what the name says. And then there's Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, which recently reopened after being closed for a few months. If your kid isn't walking, isn't mobile, it's probably not the best option for you. But if you need somewhere for them to run around, go to Redwood Creek Challenge Trail and just spend some time there. If they are young and you're kind of in a pinch and you're like, I need them to crawl somewhere and I don't know where, I would probably recommend the Animation Building in Hollywoodland. It is air conditioned, it is indoors. It doesn't have the same options as Toontown, but it's a place for them to move around, and that is all that matters. And that's that on that. I'm not going to get too into parades or fireworks because you can't really interact with them the same way, so I don't have much advice to give. But before we go, I do want to give you some bullet points about transportation to the resort, which is a bit different when you have kids in tow. There are essentially two parking options at Disneyland Resort. Mickey and Friends, which is connected to Pixar Pals parking structure. That is so hard to say out loud. And Toy Story parking. Both are a short distance from Disneyland Resort. Toy Story parking requires a bus ride or a 20-plus minute walk to the park entrance. If you take the bus, you'll have to fold the stroller to board, which personally I hate to do. To reach the park from Mickey and Friends, you'll need to take a tram or walk 15 to 20-ish minutes to Downtown Disney, which you walk through to get to the park. You'll also have to fold your stroller for the tram here, and it can be a little more complicated due to the narrow seating on the tram. There is one big seat, mostly in each tram vehicle, that is easier for something like this, but you can maybe fit a stroller in the narrower aisles, but I don't do it. I don't do it, I prefer to walk. And I find the Mickey and Friends walk is nicer and it ends up being shorter than the Toy Story one. So most often, I'm parking there, I'm getting the stroller, and I'm walking to the park. I find that the walk doesn't really take too much energy out of me, and it's actually a really great time to feed them a meal. I think I mentioned this in the first episode, but I will wake up, pack a snack, drive to the park, put Pearl in the stroller, we will walk to the park, and I will put her breakfast in the tray on the stroller. Bing, bing, boom, works seamlessly every time. Now again, I like the walk from Mickey and Friends better, but you could make the walk even shorter. You could take a shortcut from Downtown Disney into the park through the monorail, which drops you off at Tomorrowland. You have to have park admission for Disneyland, but it drops you off at Tomorrowland. But you have to fold up the stroller to do that. And again, I do not like folding up the stroller. Once I have all my stuff in the right place, I don't want to take it out. I just took it. I just dealt with it for security. And now I got to put it back. I just don't want to do it again. I don't want to carry it. And usually when I'm traveling alone, it's a non-starter. However, that is a way to mix walking and then taking the monorail. If you are heading in from a surrounding city, Uber drop-off is near the Catella side entrance where a lot of the hotels are located. And it's basically a drive-through pickup drop-off. You'll get off at the curb and you'll get in very quickly. There is no valet parking at Disneyland Resort, which is madness because they can make so much money from desperate parents like me trying to get in as many rides as possible before nap time. They haven't really rolled it out and I wish they would because you know I'd be weak and I'd use it. I think that is all. That is all of the information I have for you about visiting Disneyland with a small child. I hope this episode was helpful. If you have any questions at any time, whether you're listening to this now or years in the future, please call me, 747-CHURROS. I will hear your voicemail. I will try to help you along the way. Otherwise, you got this. And I say that to be encouraging. And I know I sound like a bad softball coach, but the truth is, with a little planning, you can have so much fun. If you know what to expect, you're going to have a great time. And Disneyland is really So simple when you break it down for visiting with a kid. Once you get there, there are so many things you can do with them. If you know what you want to do, you have those priorities, it is easy. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time visiting Disneyland Resort with a little kid. If you've traveled overseas, you know one of the most annoying parts of a fantastic trip can be the struggle to stay connected. Hunting down Wi-Fi, changing your phone plan, incurring wild overage charges for what? Using data to map your way around a foreign city? Well, imagine no more of that, because Airalo is here to make that process so much easier. Airalo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you easy access to eSIM digital SIM cards. Trusted by 10 million users worldwide, it's covered in more than 200 countries and regions, and really offers a perfect digital solution designed to save you time and money no matter where you are traveling. I went to Tokyo last October, and I decided to change my cell phone plan to allow coverage while overseas. It cost extra money, the service wasn't that great, but when I was in one park in particular, my phone's SIM card just stopped working. Just stopped working in a foreign country with no way for me to contact the friend I was staying with. I won't lie to you, it was pretty scary, and Airalo could have solved that problem for me from the start. So, if you're traveling soon and wondering how to stay in touch, look no further. Download the Airalo app and redeem the discount code I'm using for $3 off your first eSIM. Just install Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O, so you can stay connected wherever you travel, and use my code AMUSING to get $3 off your first eSIM. Happy travels!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Carly, this is Leslie from Oklahoma, and I was calling about your Victoria and Albert's experience with the stickers on the tablecloth. I just wanted to let you know that I dined there a couple of months ago with some friends, and those stickers happen for anybody that makes a little bit of a mess. It was a running joke by the end of the meal to see who had the most stickers. So anyway, I wanted you to know it wasn't just you and it wasn't for the press event. It is actually part of their dining experience. So thanks so much. Bye.
Oh my God, Leslie, thank you so much for calling. Because when I went to this, I don't know if they mentioned how many people were at this table. We were basically set up in like the other dining room. We had, oh my God, it must have been 10 to 12 people at this table. And I was the only person seemingly getting these. I can't remember if Shay got a sticker or not. Shay was sitting next to me. I can't remember because, again, if you recall in that episode, they gave us more cocktails than I can typically handle, which is one. Anything more than a sip of alcohol and I am just straight to the moon. But I just remember so many stickers, just so many stickers, and nobody else really at the table had them. So this is proof that it wasn't just me. Thank you so much. This is the evidence I needed to not be scared to ever go back there again. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that somebody else got a bunch of stickers because I cannot, I literally, like, to set the scene, I'm wearing, again, if you haven't listened to the episode, go back, but I was at a Tiana's press event. We were all like, it was the hottest it could be. It was like 100 degrees. We were all pouring sweat. I was wearing cutoff shorts and like half a tank top. We go from there to this special event at Victoria and Albert's, the fanciest restaurant at Walt Disney World, and like compared to most cities, like the fanciest restaurant. And I was wearing these cutoffs and I was like, I didn't know I was going to be seated. I thought it was just going to be a tour of the kitchen. I didn't know. I had a little bit of alcohol, so I was already like, ay, 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 caramba. And then I start making spills and they put stickers everywhere and I felt so stupid. So thank you for letting me know. I hope you had a wonderful dinner besides, you know, all of the sticker-based embarrassment. And truly thank you, because now I can live another day and hopefully live another Victoria and Albert's meal. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carly. This is Megan. I don't have any questions today. I just wanted to thank you for your LA itineraries. I moved out to LA last year and still exploring the area. And I went to All Time last weekend based on your recommendation. It was amazing. Loved the homemade donut and then also the boat thing that I ordered. So anyway, thank you again for doing your podcast and just always being so positive on all of your socials and everything. It's always a bright spot. So thank you. Bye.
Megan, oh my gosh, welcome to LA. I'm also wearing a sweatshirt as I record this that says, I love LA. So the nice, friendly vibes coming from your phone call in conjunction with you actually enjoying the episode and going to some of the stuff and liking it makes me so happy, truly. I think LA, there's a lot of ways you can like go to places that people talk about and you're like, I don't know, that was not for me. Like you walk in the door and everyone stares at you. It's this weird thing that happens in LA that I do not like, and I do not like going places where that happens. But All Time, that doesn't really happen, even though, like I mentioned, did you see anyone? That is a place worth staring at people at, like I mentioned in that episode. But regardless, welcome to LA. I'm so glad you liked the guy. Like I can't even express how much I am so happy to help you on your LA journey to go to places you might not have heard of. Also, I feel like I've been yelling this to people in real life a lot, but if you live in LA, you can get into LACMA free after 4 o'clock, I think it is, in the afternoons. Sorry, I accidentally got cut off, but anyway, it took me a while to Google. But LACMA, the LA County Museum of Art, is free for LA County residents with a valid ID weekdays after 3 p.m., except for Wednesdays. So be sure to check that out and other stuff like that. There's so much to do in LA. It's very easy to just be like, oh, I'm in my car all day. I don't get to see anything. But if you really try to stretch your free time and try to be outside and see things, and that Griffith Park hike, again, oh, my favorite. It is a wonderful city. It is so rewarding to live here, surrounded by nature, and also downtowns and city things and outdoor things and the tree-lined streets of Beverly Hills, where like every street is a different type of tree that's planted. It's absolutely bananas. I'm so grateful you're here. Thank you for your call and welcome to LA officially. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you for enjoying this two-part podcast all about taking your babies and little kids to Disneyland. It is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but once you know the basics, it is much, much easier to master. And I'm so grateful I was able to help you on your planning journey. If you liked what you heard, you can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can give us a call with any question, comment, concern, or hack for next week's episode at 747-CHURROS. You can also send us a voice note or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. Merchandise is available at very-amusing.com. If you want to wear a cute little sweatshirt, wear a t-shirt, wear a hat, we got all of them. And you can follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet. Join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. And consider subscribing to my Instagram. It's 99 cents a month. You will get guaranteed 99 cents worth of fun. That's at Carly Wiesel on Instagram. I post little side things, little exclusive things, little previews of things. It's just like an extra bonus amount of stories if you like following along and you want a bunch of extra silliness in your feed throughout the week. This episode was edited beguilingly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I just have to say, these baby episodes are so much fun for me. I'm pretty lucky that you take me on so many, many Disney trips, and especially the past year with you and Pearl. I am beyond grateful and happy to experience all of these Pearl's firsts of life. Thank you, sweetheart, for everything. It really means a lot to me. Okay. You mentioned the care center. It is a great place. It is spacious. It's clean. And you said air conditioning is heaven. So if you need to get out and have a break, let him get up for a second. It's perfect. I think moms are like Houdini, okay? There's moms breastfeeding should be in the Olympics, okay? We went to a, I think it was a space exhibit, something. I don't know if it was, I don't think there was a ride there, but it was in a very dark room, and in the corner with your blanket, it was a perfect place to be on our 95 degree day. You used a thin blanket, and no one looked because you can't even see the baby with the, under the blanket. It's amazing. So that was a nice mesh thin blanket. That was a great idea. And I don't mess around about finding the stroller. I'm a little obsessed where you always get mad at me, but I always carry a blanket with me, and I always carry a raincoat with me. So I put a blanket over the stroller. So if it rains, well, first of all, I use the raincoat. Then if it's raining, and I use that to cover all the bags, and then I put a large blanket on if it's not raining, like a red one or a navy one that I always bring with. So when we come out and it's kind of nighttime, I know that the one that's covered is mine. I cover it completely. It keeps it dry. It's great. It works. Keeps the sun from making it hot. It's a great idea. The bathrooms, I have changed Pearl many, many times in many, many bathrooms. Some are tight than others. Some I always put the paper liner down because you have this great little bag that you pack with the handle, and it has a paper liner, and you lay the paper liner over the, like, it opens up like with the padding, which is so great. And then the diapers and wipes, everything is right there. So I can do it with one hand. It's fine. It's easy. It's great. The car, driving in the car, always bring a grandparent and stick them in the back with the baby. Then the baby can be entertained and the driver can not worry seeing and just drive and not concentrate or worry about the baby. It's great. As far as souvenirs, I remember we were in a store recently in Disney and they had free buttons. So we did get a button. I don't know if that was the first or not. I think it was. But it was just great that it's in a store and a guy was standing there with a bunch of different buttons. The hat, the Mickey ears, I had made Pearl a hot pink one with her name on it embroidered, and it only took 15 minutes. It was so cool. It was a great experience. My favorite thing, though, that I love more, which was the best experience this year, was taking Pearl for her first haircut on Main Street with the fairy dust and the certificate. I got cut off. I don't know how that happened, but I got cut off. But I just wanted to say my favorite thing was the haircut on Main Street at the barbershop. Great experience. It was wonderful, inexpensive, fairy dust certificate. Then I just want to say I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. Bye.